up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Matt Weber. SP Futures up 10, Dow Futures up 111, Nasdaq Futures up 61. Apple came in with some lousy earnings last night, but people thought it was going to be worse. So the stock's up about 6%. So I suppose that is good. The weather here, Matty, would you say we're the only people here or what?
The weather is frightful. Thankfully, the Starbucks people
were
here.
Was there a song like that?
Yeah. The Dunkin' people were closed. And considering the what we think of the guy that runs the Dunkin', we're surprised he let those girls stay home.
Well, I'm going to say that there's the banks, Lakeside Bank closed. I'm going to say that allegedly we're one of two people working in this building today. I mean, obviously, a securities firm doesn't not show up. You know, we're not going to lose a day due to, not to mention Stacks and Jacks. We've never lost a day to weather. But, no, it's a interesting world. I mean, I think the brevity of it is, it's really disastrous in terms of the weather. I mean, today we're going to have I can remember as a Ute, days in a row where we didn't get above zero. But today the high is supposed to be minus 11. I don't think I've ever seen that. I think, Matty, that the all-time low for a day during the day is like, what, 4 or 5 below, not 11. I mean, so this is pretty bad. And we're talking 20 below last night, 11 high today, 22 or 23 tonight. And get a load of this. It's going to be 40 on Sunday. So it's going to be 65 degrees warmer, like within 72 hours of this mess. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, right now downtown it's negative 19 with a wind chill of negative 46.
Yeah, we could lose the wind.
Negative 46, that's the coldest I've ever been in my life, yeah. Wind chill-wise. And, today's high is negative 12. The all-time high, the all-time lowest high is negative 15. So we're going to threaten that, but I don't think we're going to quite hit that.
The lowest high is negative, when was that?
I'll find it. I had it the other day.
Yeah, because it's been I definitely can remember stretches where I was working for the school board and stuff, and some bad. Kevin, how are you?
I am doing okay. Have I weighed in on global warming on this show before?
You do realize, of course, this is caused by global warming.
No. I just wanted to say I'm in favor of it.
Yes, you and the president.
Yeah, well, I'm in favor of global warming today.
Yes, today. Today yes. Would be nicer. Allegedly, what I've read, now we would have to call our friend Tom, and he would be able to help us out with this one. But there's something called what do they call it, Kevin? Where there's these polar winds that essentially circle the Arctic in a kind of a big swath. And for those who I'm no weather expert, we should invite what's her name on. I don't know if she's a weather expert, Matt, but she's sure smoking hot. What's her name?
Cheryl Scott?
Yeah.
She's as much of an expert as we know.
Yes, we have to bring her in studio and check out, see how much of an expert she really is. Yeah, anyway, we can read.
For the record, Chief said that. I did not say that.
Well, you know what?
That would never get anybody in trouble.
Here, how about this? Our fallback position, we'll bring in Skillful Skilling. I like him. He'd be good too. I don't
and
care.
we don't actually want to check him out in the studio.
No, God, no. Well, I'd love to have him in studio. Wouldn't he be fun to talk to?
Oh, of course. Yes.
A lot of what you see weather wise is not. I mean, people look at the weather, and you know, everybody's got a daily life, so you're not supposed to look at this kind of goofy stuff that I look at. But you look at places that are warm and places that are not so warm. Sometimes the places that are warm are more north than the places that aren't so warm. I mean, Britain is way north of us, right, Kevin? And yet they're warmer.
Seattle is very north, and they never get below the 40s.
Right. So a lot of it has to do with ocean patterns and things like that. So evidently, when the Arctic Ocean is warming up, that these polar winds, because it's warmer, they don't stay where they're supposed to stay, which is winging around the Arctic. They tend to break off and drop south because the jet stream, which is what keeps us, you know, which actually makes most of Chicago or the whole Midwest weather, whether it's up, whether it goes lower or higher, the jet stream weakens and it lets this thing come down. So it's all kind of choreographed together, but allegedly the article that I read said that what causes it is the fact that the Arctic Ocean is warmer than it used to be. So I don't know if you buy that, Kevin, but anyway.
Well, I may. There are some. There's like the multi-decadal or something like that. There is a normal fluctuation in current patterns where it for centuries has been warming and cooling and warming and cooling in the and it does it for multiple decades at a time. And this is, it's not a disputable thing. So I'm sure that's affecting weather, yes.
But I don't know.
By the way, Chief, I was a little bit off. I think when I said the record all-time high, lowest all-time high. So the lowest all-time temperature ever was negative 27, which you mentioned, right. January 20th, 1985. But December 24th, 1983 was the coldest recorded high in Chicago, which was negative 11, and we're going to beat that today.
Was that the same night it was minus 27?
No, it was 2 years earlier.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, it was 1 year earlier, because January 20th, 85 to December 24th, 83, so just like 13 months apart.
And then it was Christmas of 1973 was darn near close.
Which was probably, very close. Not.
I'm sorry, 1983.
Right, yeah. Christmas of 83.
Christmas Eve. Yes. I know, because we were out that night. It was we used to go out to dinner on Christmas Eve, and of course we went anyway, and we back in the day of carburetors. Kevin remembers this. He's kind of an old dude. Carburetors and non-electric ignition points. You know what points are, Manny?
It pertaining to an ignition? No,
yeah.
I don't.
They were the whole thing when the motor, when you started the motor, your timing would the thing would turn and the power would hit there, and as it got to a certain spot, it would jab that point, and then it would go through your ignition coil, which accentuated the charge, and then it would head from there down into your spark plugs, your distributor to the spark plugs, and that's what powered the engine. That's what it became. So then as it moved, it essentially sparked itself. It wasn't electronic. It was all mechanical. Kind of a different world. It worked fine.
So you used to have to go in periodically as part of your tune-up to have points and plugs done.
Points and plugs, yeah. Well, now you do the plugs like, what, every 5 years? Maybe. Well, plugs last.
Do the plugs when I decide that the engine doesn't have enough pep.
Well, it's at least 100,000 miles on a set of plugs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I used to put, Matty, I used to put the plugs in myself. And I think a set of plugs was, this was every 12,000 miles. You put a set of plugs in. You do those yourself, because of course there was nothing in the motor. We didn't have air conditioning or anything. And then I would go to, I would go for the points in the Dyno Tune and Power Time, Kevin. Willie's
I remember, some of those places.
Yeah, Willie's Carburetor and Ignition Lab in Blue Island. Where Matty actually took your car and rolled it in on those big rollers.
Right,
and all of a sudden they'd run the thing up to like 80 miles an hour on the rollers, and your car, and you're watching this whole.
Yeah, because you had to be certified that you were emissions okay.
Oh, this is long before emissions.
And
this was long before emissions. It was 1968.
Yeah, but there was for a while in the state of Illinois, you had to take your car in for an emissions test.
We still do.
But they just plug it in. You always have to go get the tune-up before it to make sure that you were going to pass, unless, of course, you wanted to just drive in and let the guy do the emissions test and leave a $20 bill on the seat.
So you might
pretty much why they got rid of the emissions tests.
Well, now they just...
It was just a bribery scam, and it wasn't doing any good for confirming that people would pass.
Oh, now you still go for an emissions test, and all they do is plug into your computer.
Yeah, now it's very efficient as far as the time. I did mine, the last one I did was a couple years ago, but Jill just did hers like last week, and she said she was in and out in like 2 minutes.
Well, get a load of this, Kevin.
They plug it in.
Oh, okay. I remember them being discontinued, so I see they're back in Illinois. That we don't have them in Michigan.
Well, this is how messed up politics is. Because Rauner was pissed off at the city, and the emissions tests, I believe, are the Secretary of State's people. So all those jobs belong to Jesse White. And that's why you want to be Secretary of State, because you have a boatload of jobs that you control. There is not one emission test place left in the city of Chicago. Rauner moved them all out. Just to piss everybody off. So, where did Jill have to go?
Skokie.
She had to go to Skokie to get emissions test.
Which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah. There used to be one right near her house.
There used to be one right off Webster, yeah.
Yeah. And, so guess what, Kevin? Because mine is I think it's because I'm a former, there must be some code for mine. That it's a former Secret Service car truck. When I first got it, I took it to the one on Webster was still here, and the guy hands me the thing, and he goes, "You know, you have a lifetime exemption." I said, "You got to be kidding me!" "Nope, you never have to come back." All right, interesting.
Yeah, see ya.
So why did you have to get a power time, Matty?
Why did I have to what?
Why would you have to go to somewhere and get a power time?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
For go to Willie's lab, because when you had to get. There was a thing called
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about tuning your engine.
Okay.
There was something called a timing light.
I thought we were talking about emissions still.
Well, sort of the same thing. There was something called a timing light. They still sell those, Kevin, where you'd attach it to a spark plug, and where do you put the other end? I remember. And then there below your engine, there was actually a timing mark. It was like a strobe light. And when that cylinder popped, the light would hit on the strobe thing, and you could tell whether you were advanced or you were, was it recessed? Advanced or recessed on your timing. But as you went faster, you wanted the timing to advance. So the only way you could figure that out was on a dynamometer. That's why you went to Willie's to get it power timed.
Yes, and so let's relate this to pop culture.
Yes.
If you remember Marissa Tomei's testimony in My Cousin Vinny, when she's talking about the timing setting, the proper timing setting for the car being, I don't know what she gave it, you know, like 4 degrees before top dead center.
Yeah, yeah.
There was the center mark on the wheel on the
It was on the frame. The engine had a little. There was a piece of metal that hung off the bottom. That was your timing mark.
Yeah, some cars you needed to be right at top dead center. Others you had to be a few degrees one direction or another. I don't know why it was that way, but it was. And so each car had its own setting. And so what you do is there was the top dead center mark, and then you put a little, basically chalk mark at the right spot.
Right.
And that was how you did that's how you checked the timing with the dynamometer.
And as if you wanted to go faster, you would always have your timing advanced. All right, so Matty, the whole thing is, Matty's learning something this morning here.
I've tuned this out a long time ago.
No, but it's not useful.
It's not useful. I tuned this out a long time ago.
We don't do it anymore.
We don't do this anymore. Well, just as you know, on the compression stroke of your engine, even your car has a compression stroke, the spark ignites. If it's top dead center, it means at the very top of the compression stroke, the spark hits. Okay, if it's advanced, the spark is gonna go off slightly before it gets to the top, is essentially the story. So for some reason, if it's advanced, the thing goes faster. So when you talk about, you know, guys in the running booze into Tennessee, and they would say they'd get a Ford flathead V8 and they'd go from 80 horsepower to 110, that's one of the reasons how they did it, is they advanced the timing. I don't know anything about how to do that, but that's what they did, one of the things. Anywho,
But still, it's cold outside.
Still, it's cold outside. And Manny tuned all this out. He's still going to the guy once every 5 years to get the tune-up, which is fine. Manny. The world is much nicer now. You don't have to mess around with your car half the day, let's put it that way.
I bet.
Because you did. I mean, this is stuff you did all the time. I mean, you know, whatever. But you still could get a lot of service out of, you know, some old junker for a long period of time. Now, okay, I don't suppose the polar vortex is going to affect much in the way of the market or anything going on. But what do you make of just say what do you make of everything here, Kevin? We had
pretty open question.
Well, I mean, it's the market is all over. We're down 400 and some points on Monday. Today being Wednesday morning, the White House trots out all these people. We're starting the Japanese things again. And now, depending on your read of is it close to a deal, not close to a deal, I think that the parts that they have, they're nipping around the edges. But I think the parts they're really concerned about, which essentially is to get the Chinese, is getting them to essentially admit that they've been stealing all this corporate stuff. Because if they don't admit that they've been doing it, they're not going to agree to essentially not do it anymore. Is that
sure? And they just filed charges against Huawei this week for corporate espionage.
Yeah, and a lot of that is because allegedly some of the stuff from Huawei is getting to Iran. Correct? Isn't that the accusation?
No, that was the original one. Now it's just theft of intellectual property.
Kevin, how do you? This has been a reflective week for me, and so you guys are my consigliere's. How do you? You can't be in a situation where somebody does something bad, and like if you're a total libertarian kind of person, which I'm not, and I know you're not, where somebody does something bad, and you just
crowd in that direction, though.
Well, right when I say where you get this total moral relativism type of thing, where you go, well, you know. Joe robbed a bank. Well, that's okay. The bank's robbed us. You know, you sort of can't go there.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not a libertarian thing.
Well, but it's something. I mean, I'm not talking about the Libertarian Party. I'm talking about it's kind of the live and let live, you know, wherever you want to, moral relativism. I don't know what that means, but.
Well, I think you're right on the relativism. It's okay because, so-and-so did it. You know, that didn't seem to work with my parents, you know, that he started it.
No. But then again,
they didn't buy that one very well.
but you know what? You see that a lot now. I mean, I don't know. I talk to a lot of people that have kids that are preteen and teen, and it is incredible. Everything that the kid does wrong, it's because somebody was bullying them. Somebody was this. There was something on their iPage, or it really is.
Yeah, my line for that used to be, "Hey, I'll just punish you both." Then,
yeah. Well, that's yeah. Well, then, but you got. What I'm saying is. Is the and I don't want to drop down to this thing, but intellectual property, despite could there possibly be more respect for a piece of crap system ever in the world than the average American's faith and belief in the patent system? Could there be a system that's more screwed up from the day one, Kevin? In terms of first of all, nobody understands
probably
it.
Not.
And, I mean, no, and I say, I'm not a patent attorney, but just to give you a background, when you go to get a patent, and I just, I mean, we don't necessarily raise money for people, but of course I have a bunch of friends, and I got turned on to this.
Got a guy, huh?
Well, I got turned on to this place in Joliet, and they were looking for money, and ended up family was fighting, and they couldn't stop fighting. But the bottom line is, they have this specifically... a machine that does these chemical testings. And virtually every university has one or two. Every ship at the sea has one that's doing kind of research. And a really incredible product. And they were, you know, kind of looking for some money. And I said, by the way, do you guys have a patent? What are you, some kind of moron, basically? And I go, why? She goes, if you ever want to go get a patent on something like this, and somebody, first of all, you let people know that you have something worthwhile. And you have to give them basically the plans. Now, you go to the patent office and you apply for a patent. Somebody in government somewhere does some sort of a cursory search, correct? And they'll come back and say, it doesn't look to me like there is a patent in this thing, and they give you one. That is worth about as much as somebody peeing in a lake. Because all of a sudden, one of these outfits that has 90 bazillion patents says, wait a minute, I got something right like that. You can't take this guy's search as anything other than, you know, a glad hand slap on the back. You have to defend your patent totally on your own. It has nothing to do with, with you actually getting something from, you can't say, well, wait a minute, my patent search says that, if this thing is XXX. You're nowhere with that, Kevin. So the way some people steal your patent is the first time you patent it, you let people know what you have. Somebody goes, wow, that's pretty neat. Let me find something that's kind of close to it and sue you immediately. Right? Anyway, SP, we'll talk about this more after the break. SP Futures down 10. NASDAQ Futures down 60. Up 10. Mostly because of Apple. Well, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. SP Futures, we had a big jump here in the Dow during the break due to Boeing. Earnings came out and they beat top and bottom line. $100 billion revenue was the first time they're talking about this year. That's a lot. S&P Futures up 1275, Dow up 240, NASDAQ up 68 as Boeing is up $21. I got to trade 386.72. Apple, of course, in the Dow as well, up 839, 163.07. So we've got those two things pushing the Dow pretty heavy. The NASDAQ, like I say, is up 63. Around the rest of the world, we have rallies as well. Rallies in Britain because they might be doing something good with the Brexit finally. DAX down 27.2%. FTSE up 111, 1.6%. CAC round up 31.6%. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei down 108.5%. 20,556 whole number. Shanghai down 18.7%. 2575 still pretty comfortably over the 2500 number. Hang Seng up 111. That's 0.4%, way over the 25,000 number that they were dealing with a while ago at 27,682. These stocks have come back sort of like ours, maybe half to two-thirds of the way back from the sell-off. Oil, we've got up 53 cents, 53.84. Brent is 61.95. That's up 63 cents. So that spread is now $8.10. Natural gas, despite the incredible cold weather here, down another 2 cents, Maddie, 287. RBOB, 136. The home heating oil is 191. And we'll check gold here. Gold up another $3 at 13.18. Silver up another dime, 15.94. We got Forest Traffic Weather Sports. By the way, are you happy that a new low was reached by your people in your city council in the city?
What low would that be?
Some of the payoffs were in Viagra pills. Yet another.
As currency?
Yep. Yet another reason to not give somebody a 19-year patent. It was a 17-year patent, and somehow those guys managed to weasel two more years. So to the point where they were payoffs for aldermen.
Wow. Interesting. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. As you can imagine, the expressways are nice and quiet this morning as everyone is staying home, except for us. Most of the offices are closed, and folks that are able are working remote. Even our Dunkin' Donuts was closed, so we're drinking Starbucks this morning, which...
Can't say as I like.
Not as good.
No.
Not a huge Starbucks fan, as far as the way their coffee tastes, that's for sure. But we're looking good on the Edens and Kennedy, same with the Eisenhower, Stevenson, Southside Expressways are looking good. Off the expressways, there's all kinds of weird cold weather-related issues. There's malfunctioning traffic lights all over the place. There's some malfunctioning train guards, gate malfunctions at Prairie Avenue at Brookfield in the western suburbs. That's causing some issues with the train gate not able to come down. There's down power lines in a few places, specifically Oak Lawn at the intersection of 91st and Central is blocked right now for down power lines. And then there's water main breaks in the area. And in the city, there's a water main break at Howard. The break actually bursted. The water main actually bursted at Howard in California this morning. And that has standing water, which is turning into ice very quickly, as you can imagine, right there at Howard in California. So all kinds of cold weather issues. But the expressways are looking good. So if you are coming downtown, expect a nice, quiet commute. Weather today, we are going to set a record. The coldest high, it looks like, will fall today. That's stood since 1983, the year I was born. So there you go, 36 years later. Our high today is expected at negative 12 downtown and could be colder in certain areas in Chicagoland. Right now it's overcast and negative 19 with a wind chill of negative 47.
We could lose the wind.
We could lose the wind. For our Phoenix listeners, get this, overcast with a high of 74. No, we don't care about their weather. Right now it's cloudy and 54 down in Phoenix. In sports last night, Bulls lost in Brooklyn to the Nets 122-117. Suns lost a tough one in San Antonio to the Spurs 126-124. And college hoops, Northwestern having a down year for the second straight year. They lost at Maryland 70-52. Chief.
I couldn't, I'll finish my Clanton story in a second, but I couldn't help but not tweet. I texted Russell last night, giving him grief, of course. They had some guy, he was kind of Asian looking, but he kind of looked just like Russell, and he's in like the second or third row.
Asian Russell.
But he same haircut, same glasses, same body shape, and he's sitting there wearing the cardigan.
So you're going to say cardigan too? Okay.
Yeah, so Stacy and Neil Funk get all over this guy with a cardigan. What is that? A cardigan? then they go, he must be some kind of professor, which of course Russell is. I'm dying laughing. I had a text him and said, Russell, you watching the Bulls game? You're on TV. Some guy with a cardigan they're giving no one to grief to. Anyway, I don't want to belabor this patent thing, but if you look back in history, I don't know that it's helped or hurt people. And I started this I had Father Fitzgerald at Notre Dame, and he was so anti this stuff, it was scary because virtually every big advance had been stolen by somebody. And at the end of the day, people love the fact that you have on paper that you can invent something, you can walk in ahead of all the big guys and get something down, and you get this thing granted to you, and for 17 years you can make dough on it. You know, the theory of it, Kevin, is so spectacularly positive, and yet the actual workings of it can't be more negative. Can they? I mean, or is it just me?
Well, I think the way it would work for a little guy with an idea is if you want to sell it to a major corporation, because the big problem that you have is it's expensive to defend it. It's expensive to if somebody infringes, to go after them costs you a whole lot more money, way more than the patent's worth. So, but on the other hand, if you have some idea and you sell it to a major corporation, it will defend its patent.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
what it's intended to do is, for inventors to be able to own their intellectual property for some period of time and to take it from idea to profitability without someone else squashing them.
Right.
But in practice, what it's really done is it's institutionalized that intellectual property goes to big corporations.
Well, I mean, I wonder about, you remember a buddy of mine from high school, Dave Azzarello? He's come down once in a while. I remember him or not.
Sure. Yeah, I remember Az.
But if you look, I don't know if they're still, but if you look at the dome light in your car, I mean, this is years and years ago, but there was a patent number on there, and one of his dad's cousins or somebody or other had invented that, the dome light, that particular shape or whatever. And he immediately sold it to the car companies. So, like you're saying, yeah, I mean, if he'd have held out, and not sold it to them, I'm going to say they would have put something in there damn near real close, Kevin, and then just fought the guy for it. But you say he just walked in and sold it to him. So yeah, I mean, it is, and he had a very nice, he had a lot of money that he sold it for him in those days. Who knows what he sold it for? It was $1 million in 1970. It was a lot of dough. So yeah, I mean, it's not like it hasn't worked for anybody. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but if you look at some of the big ones, Brown Camera invented the Instamatic, right? Yet everybody thinks that Kodak did. No, they didn't. They stole it from, anyway, long story, but the, intellectual property theft has been a national sport for like a real long time. And the Chinese are bad at it, good at it, whatever you want, and they're pretty out there brazen about it. And they've got this new thing where they ask firms for a lot of their intellectual property in order to do business there. And firms take a look at the bottom line and they give it up to them.
Right? I don't have a problem with that.
Well, but that's at the core of this whole thing. The current administration doesn't want them to be able to ask for it. We're not going to say if you don't want to give certain.
Have they said that? I haven't seen them say that. So I'll take your word for it, but I haven't seen that be part
of
the equation.
I've talked to a few people that have sort of been involved in something. They definitely, like some attorneys, they say they will ask right up front. You know that we want the intellectual property if you're going to bring a firm over here. You know, we want access to it, type of thing. And they ask.
Look, to me, that's just a business decision. People do the math and they figure out if it's worth it to them or not. And that's not theft. That's a contractual arrangement.
That's what I've been bitching about for a year since these guys have been fighting this battle. In my mind, what you do is you identify 200 things you don't want them getting, and then it becomes a crime to give it to them. I mean, you can't. I mean, if anybody should go to jail. For Boeing give them the intellectual rights to, or the drawings to the 737E or whatever it is, it should be the lady who runs Boeing. You know, not. Yeah, it's a
right,
tough situation.
But it's different if they have stolen it. You know, if it's taken via an espionage act, like say a Chinese national gets a job there and
I agree.
And downloads all of the mechanical drawings and all of that kind of stuff, then
that's
a little bit different.
We had some people from China.
You know, when I think of intellectual property theft, that's what I'm thinking.
Just so you know,
basically, it's hacking, it's corporate espionage of various kinds.
Well, just so you know that I'm not a bleeding heart for the Chinese, I absolutely am not. We had people that were registered with PTI at the time, this was a few years ago, and they had some a group from China and from the Agriculture Department. Despite we're sort of fighting with them back and forth. The Ag Departments we've had here at our place. Several groups that have been here for like 2 weeks, Kevin, where we give them tours of locks and dams of, ethanol plants, give them lectures on crop insurance and everything. We had some, people used to do this. So one day, the guy who's a PTI guy goes to the men's room, he comes back and the Chinese dude's got the flash drive in his computer downloading the whole thing. Our guy goes, "What the hell are you doing?" He goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You don't do that in America." "Oh, why?" "I mean, why? It's my computer. Get your thing out of there, you knucklehead." I mean, don't think for a second that I have a warm feeling for these dudes, Kevin. I'm just saying, if we don't want our stuff taken, we got to make sure we protect it. Not trying
or get compensation for
right.
it. That, I mean, it just like I said, someone might sell a patent to a large corporation. You got the same thing. If corporation decides that it is as part of its compensation, part of its trade deal to do business in China is to do that, and it's an effective approach, unless it's designated somehow for national security. I don't care if they swap. Intellectual property rights for to do business. That's their choice.
All right. Now you would not be on this trade negotiation team.
I probably wouldn't.
I think that it's time that we did get a basically sort all its stuff out with the Chinese. So I am not upset with Trump for doing this at all. I mean, I really am not, Kevin. I don't think I ever said that I was. My concern is if this particular group is the group to do it. I think they're out of touch. It's hard for me to imagine Wilbur Ross, who thinks everybody can go to the credit union and get a loan, is like leading this group. I shudder almost.
Well, he might be good in trade issues. I don't know.
Let's hope so.
I'd have to, I guess we'll see when we see what the results are.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of damage going on that, I don't know that we come back from. I mean, because if all of a sudden Apple reported their revenue from China was down 27% from last year, well, you and Manny know a lot more about cell phones than me. I mean, that means, once people get off.
You know what they are, though, don't you?
What? You say something bad about them?
No, I was just wondering. I'm never quite sure when it comes to technology.
I have mine. I can't wait to. If I lost it tomorrow, I'd be the happiest man on earth. If I lost a smartphone, just saying.
Okay.
Go back to my. You know what? I went to charge the damn thing the other day when it was 5 below 0. It wouldn't charge in the car. I plugged the old flip phone in. Charges right up. Just saying.
generally flip phones are better.
As phones, as everything else.
Can we switch to healthcare for a few minutes?
Yes, please. Get me off the subject.
Okay. One of the things that's gaining a lot of steam among the Democratic candidates is that they want to do Medicare for all. And in fact, Kamala Harris is going to co-sponsor a bill with Bernie Sanders, yet another Bernie Sanders bill, to do Medicare for all. But the quote I have from her, and I think this is something, because it's an enticing thought, and especially when you hear something like this. She says, well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care, and if you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of that, and all of the delay that may require, who of us has had that situation where you've had to wait for approval, and the doctor says, well, I don't know if your insurance company is going to cover this. Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on. Guess what happens with Medicare? All of that.
Yeah.
So when we talk Medicare for all, that's what we're talking. That's exactly what we're talking about. And I don't know if she's being dishonest or she just doesn't, understand how Medicare works.
Both. You want my shortened version of this one, Kevin? And you know what?
Yeah, let's hear the shortened version.
You and I and Maddie's been involved in this discussion. We have been basically bitching and moaning for 5 years now about the problem with the different cost lines in the hospital. So if all of a sudden you and I are in that age, right before Medicare, where it's real hard for us to get insurance. Matter of fact, it's damn near impossible if you're 63 with any kind of an issue. Go online and try and get it. Good luck with that. So I think that one of the few places. So if all of a sudden, if you're 63 and you get something simple, Kevin, an appendectomy, it's going to be four times the amount that the insurance company pays. So I think what these people are saying is when if you get a chance to buy in to Medicare earlier than 65, you're essentially buying into their cost structure that the insurance companies have and you as an individual do not have. Now, you and I think, would probably rather put all the knaves in jail and say, fix the cost structure. I think giving people access to Medicare, it's not giving them access to the insurance. It's giving them access to the Medicare negotiated prices. Or am I wrong here?
No, I think you're right about that. But the problem always is, whether it's Medicare or whether it's insurance, it sets the floor on the cost. It may set a cap on it as well, but it sets a floor, and you're never going to go under the floor, even when the market would push you below that floor.
But right now, the Medicare floor.
And if you don't believe the market will ever work, then why is direct primary care gaining such traction?
Because
that's exactly what happens is they are now below what the insurance market will cover.
Okay.
In fact, if you look and you talk about you talk about health insurance in general, now that you can go, everybody can go get these short-term plans that originally were considered a for stopgap purposes. The cost comparisons are that it's running 80% below. The premiums are running 80% below the cost of the exchange insurance programs. Now, that comes with some strings, but just to give you an example, if you start looking at, if you look at a bronze plan, $5,000 deductible, about a $5,900 deductible, co-insurance of 20%, and comparable of the two plans, you would get, let me see, I'm looking at the article here, about $116 a month for the outside the exchange plan and $862 a month for the exchange plan. So now, what's the catch to that? They don't cover pre-existing conditions, which is now popular with the American people, but it's not how insurance works. And it isn't guaranteed renewable unless you pay for a guaranteed renewable rider to it, which not that expensive and it's very doable. And your medications usually become part of your deductible instead of a separate line item that's covered for free. So it's not perfect, but you can go under those circumstances and get a much, much less expensive insurance plan, and then turn around and subscribe to a primary, a direct primary care doctor that just charges you the same thing every month, and you can use the service as much as you want. So now you have the catastrophes covered, and you also have the routine stuff covered.
Except,
and I think the market's going to shake out like that unless we decide we're going to go do Medicare for all, and then it's going to remain that the whole delivery of service is going to be ungodly expensive.
I tend to agree, except here's my only issue with two people, the Kevin O'Neill and Wilbur Rosses of the world. Now, you don't have as much money as them, do you? Wilbur Ross?
Almost. I forget the percentage, but I have some percentage.
Everybody in the world has a weakness. I have a bunch of
them. I, too, have some percentage.
Yeah, but everybody has a weakness. Kevin, your only weakness, I think, is the fact that you think other people are like you. For 90% of the population.
Actually, I don't, and I thank God every day that that's not the case. But go on.
Well, what you're saying now, if we were in a room with a bunch of people, what you just said is spectacularly intuitive. But from an economic system, what's starting to happen is what you're saying is, if people are really clever and they inch around the sides, they can start. The market is starting to be some of these low-cost providers, okay? And some firms have started to do some of that. There's been some nipping around the edges to what I would call the classical system, all right? And it's all really good stuff. And you found that you can if you need an MRI, instead of $6,000 at Northwestern that your doctor just writes out for you, and most people just waddle right over there, there's a place you can go for $800. I mean, if you listen. But it's traditional medicine has not caught up to that. And if it's your wife or your kid or even yourself that all of a sudden your knee, you can't make it out of the place and there's ice and snow, you're probably going to take your fanny over to Northwestern and not start looking for another place. If you haven't researched in advance like you have, which nobody does except you and me and a few other, I'll say, idiots, it's still a small piece of the system. And right now, if everybody, even though you are right, if everybody piles into the Medicare piece in 5 years, that will be the disaster. I'm going to say everybody we know who's having trouble finding insurance is either a real estate person or whatever they are, where companies don't cover it. Everybody we know, if they could buy in for $10 a month and just pay all their own stuff and get the Medicare prices, would be light years ahead. Right now, to get Medicare prices. For
right. However, this direct primary care part of the equation is a growing movement.
And you know what? It's way
right
better.
Right now, where it's the, you know, I'd like to think I'm clever, but where it's people who, you know, dig into it and are informed, know about it, it's becoming, because so many more practices are converting to it, it starts slow and it builds. But if it's left to happen, then you will see a whole lot of this. And if we look forward 5 years, I think we're going to see a substantial change in how we go about paying for health care.
Don't underestimate how powerful the current system is and how they'll squash that.
The issue is it's the doctors that hate the current system, and they have the ability to opt out. So only if I don't want to say providers, because they're not the healthcare providers, they're the insurance companies, et cetera. Only if they can engineer legislation that says a doctor is not allowed to operate outside the insurance system, which I don't think is going to happen. Unless that happens, this is going to keep growing, because the doctors hate the current system.
So what
they hate the paperwork, they hate everything that they have to do, and they just want to eliminate the overhead and practice medicine.
I don't disagree. Okay, now we've seen the generic medication. What happens in, I'll give you the perfect example, out in Orland. They just put this massive new University of Chicago Center out there. Everybody knows I got a soft spot in my heart for University of Chicago. I went there. Some people here that I know that went there for cancer treatment that I thought they were in the grave are walking around today. I have nothing bad to say about it. They put a huge place out in Orland. Some other guys, a few blocks away, Kevin, just what you're talking about, have this really spiffy, what do you call it, quick care facility or whatever. One-tenth the cost of going to the emergency room. How much you want to bet that 5 years from now or 2 years from now, whoever put that thing up, the guy says, we know you're this altruistic dude, but we're gonna give you $100 million for this place. What do you think the guy does? I know people in a hospital up on the north side who were bought by one of the North Shore groups. They were charging $2,500 for an MRA, and guys were making $20 an hour. They got bought by somebody. The next day, they said, your salary's going to $15 an hour, and oh, by the way, the MRI is going to $5,000. I mean, you're right. It's percolating up. But I don't see how, don't underestimate the power of the current people. Much as I hate to say that. I mean, I'm just.
Okay. Well, I understand your point. I'm just seeing, pressures that are going the other way, and I am seeing momentum going.
I, for one, am.
Very slowly.
You have no idea.
Building.
You have no idea how happy I would be if what you're saying comes to fruition. I would love to see it.
You know, we got the flip side, though. We have half of the political world saying Medicare for all.
Well,
it's polling popular, at least until people say, what if we have to raise your taxes to do it? And then all of a sudden, it polls unpopular.
All I'm saying is for 90% of the population, that their first glimpse of the system is when they get sick or break a leg. Right now, the Medicare piece would really help them, and they haven't researched any of the stuff you have, is all I'm saying. SP Futures up 11. Kevin, talk to you on Friday, buddy.
Okay, sounds good.
SP Futures up 1175. Dow Futures up 222. That's because Boeing is up 22 and Apple's up 8. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Russell Rose, Professor. Professor Cardigan wearing Russell Rose. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the phone. On the board. SP Futures up 12. Dow Futures up 240. Because Boeing is up 21.35. And Apple is up 7. What was this up over 8? Now it's 767. NASDAQ is up 64. Russell, you took some hits last night, buddy, in the Bulls game. Did you watch it at all? Bulls Nets? Or did you go?
You know, it was on where I was eating dinner. So I saw a little bit of it. But you know, I'm actually in Brooklyn right now and could have walked over to the game. I chose not to. I didn't see any purpose. And there appeared to be a lot of seats available as
well. I would say you were probably correct on that.
And you made the right choice.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that arena, though. It's real nice.
I've been there. It is nice.
I would, too, but not for that.
Have either one of you guys been to
the arena? There have been a couple of times I've been here, and there have been college games, and I've been tempted to go over there for that. I'd rather watch a college game.
Have either of you guys been to the remodeled Madison Square Garden?
I've been to the outside, mm-hmm. of it, but I haven't been inside since they remodeled it.
I've been inside.
I thought the old one was pretty. Plus, if anybody's ever been to a sporting event, it's like none other. The thing sits on top of like 12 rail lines, and they can have 23,000 people in the place, and 15 minutes after the game, you're like, where'd everybody go? They basically go downstairs, hop a train, and
they're
gone.
There's so many ways to get in and out of that place, and it's like a maze. I would hate to try to meet somebody before the game there.
Oh, God. So, Russell, they got this poor guy. They zero in on him with the camera because he was wearing a cardigan sweater.
Well, I saw that text from you, and I didn't. That was after I was not watching it anymore. It was not me, and I almost turned the TV on to see what you were talking about.
Well, he was of Asian descent, but he had the exact same haircut, the exact same glasses. He's sitting there in the cardigan, and these guys, Neil Funk and Stacy, were going, wow. You think this guy's some kind of professor? I was dying laughing. Where the hell did he get that sweater? He must be a professor guy. There's Russell.
See, I'm a trendsetter. I've been dressing like that for 3 years.
There you go.
Did his glasses match his cardigan?
You know what? They damn near did. It was a dark gray glass and a dark gray cardigan.
My soulmate. Yeah. I went on to the game and found my soulmate. Could you imagine if I was sitting next to that guy?
So there's a guy here trying to... Did you see? I don't know if you saw the Apple news. There's a guy here trying to analyze. This is so funny when you start analyzing this stuff. I mean, it is hard to do. Here's a guy talking about the Apple number. So get a load of this. The guy is. This is Bernstein's Tony. God, Sakanagi said in his post earnings note that we were surprised by Apple in the aftermarket last night, up 5% plus, with EPS estimates likely to fall 5%. That would suggest the stock is 10% more expensive today than yesterday and way above their 5-year average on relative PE and blah, blah, blah.
That's a stretch. Yeah. Don't you think that just means that if things were dropping 5% and the stock was up 5%, that everybody was expecting, maybe a 10% drop in EPS or 15 or whatever when you adjust those numbers?
I think that they, because of the huge negative announcement, a few weeks ago, people thought there might have been another shoe to drop, and the fact that it didn't get really any worse.
Right.
Is plus, you know, we're trotting everybody in the world out on the China situation, and clearly, I now have some people and a lot of clients lately, Russell, and a lot of them have Apple stock, and it's the idea that it's down heavy from where it was, and people are not happy. And I said, what would your opinion been on this? I said, all I know is that a year ago, when we started fighting with China, my opinion was, and I said it, once a week, I don't see how these guys despite every other talking head saying, don't worry, you're so important to China and the U.S., that China and the U.S. will be able to fight without affecting Apple. I never saw how that could be possible. I mean,
I don't know if it was with the microphone on or the microphone off, but I can attest to you did say this.
And
I recall you saying it.
But that's not...
I think it might have been with the microphone off.
But that's not that's not quantitative. It's just, you know, it's sort of an opinion.
Yeah.
I would have been more likely to try and protect an Apple position with this going on. Now, that doesn't mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and it turned out not to work out so well for them. I mean, there's Chinese people that are essentially pissed off at us, like we have people here don't like
and
any of the Chinese.
You know, they're gonna start doing social media scoring on all the people there, and you know, like basically deciding who's more of a threat to the government based on their social media presence. I bet you that if you own an Apple device or you own a Samsung device, that owning an Apple device doesn't get you as many brownie points with the government these days.
Well, and
I'm actually being very serious too.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way: you and I, all of a sudden, you're not. You know, you're not the Caucasian, and you're the... I don't think this guy was Chinese last night, but he was Asian of some sort. And so you're sitting there at, you know, at a bar at a coffee shop, and you're reading about how the U.S. is calling you a bunch of crooks. You're really not going to say to your pals, hey, where are you going, Russell? I'm going on a block to pay $1,000 for an Apple phone. I mean there's going to be a backlash of some kind.
But well, you know, I'll take it, and I'll go deep history on this one. I did something for SIBO a long time ago, and I was up in Canada, and I had somebody talking to me about the woes of BlackBerry, and they said, well, you know, everybody in the U.S. hates Canada and doesn't want to buy anything from Canada unless they have to. I bet you 90% of the people in the U.S. didn't even know that BlackBerry was a Canadian company.
Oh, I bet they didn't. I bet they had no idea.
But the point is, the Canadian people sure did, you know, and... I think other countries are probably, I know we're all about nationalism these days, but I bet you other countries are a little bit more nationalistic when it comes to business than we are.
I
didn't know that BlackBerry was a Canadian company.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I had no idea.
One third of the people online right now.
I didn't know Canada had companies.
Ooh, there's a shot.
I actually, what did he say?
He didn't know Canada had companies.
Oh, now look what you're doing. You're going all South Park, and we're going to start problems.
I'm blaming Canada?
You are blaming Canada.
He's acting like a Trump supporter. If it wasn't for those Canadian dairy farmers, we'd all be friends.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. you wonder when every negotiation, you know what, Russell, if you're not involved, and everybody has their own style, and I'm not to say that in a lot of instances the president's style works. I think
right.
it works a lot with you know, there was a,
it works in the business that he came from.
Well, James Arness did a bunch of things after Gunsmoke, okay, and one of them was, you know, they did this whatever he was, but he. In one situation, he's bringing his family west before the Civil War because he didn't want people fighting in the Civil War. Well, one ended up fighting it anyway, but long story. But, so they essentially grabbed this cabin out somewhere, and all of a sudden these people come by and kind of thought it was their place, even though it wasn't. And they've got a bunch of cattle are running through there, and James Arness walks out with a rifle, and he basically says, you know, this is our spot. And the guys go, that they were used to intimidating everybody. The one guy says to the other one, it looks like we got another bull in this pasture. We better get out of here. You know, type of thing. You know, I think what happens with, I think Trump can intimidate a lot of people, maybe in Congress and federal employees because they're, you know, maybe they're not bulls. When I say that, people that all of a sudden you push them and they push back. I'm not so sure that some places that works and it doesn't work. Is the Chinese thing drags on and there's more and more name calling. Some people cave, and some people get more and more pissed, and they're less likely to cave. And I don't know that.
And there's a face saving part of that as well. And I think that, you know, that in the Asian culture, saving face might be more important than not saving face.
Well, plus the guy running China's got to...
I think it steps up there.
Well, how long is the guy in China now in charge for? The next decade or something?
Life.
I mean, I should know the answer to this before I brought it up. But didn't
he's life.
He's life?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well,
the most recent Congress, they kind of flipped it. They changed things around, and he's in there as long as he wants to be. Usually, it's like a 5-year deal. But the new guy or the guy that's been in charge for a while, things have been going so well. And he is the biggest bull in that Congress. He basically is there as long as he wants to be.
Well, I mean, so I really hope that we don't overplay our hand here, because whenever government does something, being a war, being any kind of a thing, there's always people that lose, and pretty much everybody realizes that every once in a while it's their turn to take one for the team. You know,
right.
So if you're in a business that exports stuff to China and you've had a couple of a bad year or two, as long as you think your people are doing something for the greater good, you're going to take it for a while. But you know, how long is a while, and how much of it,
right?
And what's the gain?
A while is defined differently in different places. The Chinese are definitely in things. I mean, they're on a plan to take over industries by 2025. There's a darn good chance between now and then we may even have three different presidents over that time
right.
period. You know?
Yeah, well, right.
Our thought of the long game and their thought are very different. And, you know, like we just said, this guy's going to be in there. He's going to be in there longer than Trump, even if, who knows what will happen, but even if Trump were to get reelected, the Chinese guy is going to be in charge from here on out. They have a different time frame as far as playing out the clock on something like this as well.
Well, the system of government, as you look, and again, I am no expert on this because I would love to learn more about it, Russell. You maybe know a lot more about it. But if you look at there's a yin and a yang. Whenever somebody says, "God, if we only had term limits." If we just get these people out of there every 4 years, everything would be fine. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, no one. I mean, there's a certain learning curve to everything you do. I mean, I was on a board of SIBO for 6 years, and I'm going to say I did twice as much good stuff in my second term than the first.
Yeah.
I probably did 60% of that in my last year. You know, because all of a sudden you start some programs going, you know the people, all of a sudden you can get stuff happening. Now that becomes a spot where if you're in there drooling on yourself, and you're just there because they keep electing you, then that's not good either. But the British system of government, it looks like they're total chaos at the top end, which they sort of are. I mean, but that's their design. Yet below the top end, like if Theresa May loses a no confidence vote this week to somebody, the replacement of people probably goes down, what, 10 people? 50?
Yeah.
Where here, when you change a party and a president, it goes down, what, 3,000 or 1,800? Some
a
massive
lot, yeah.
amount of people. So in other words, when Trump came in, he not only him, he gave us Wilbur Ross. All these people all over the place now are all brand new, which you know, if he doesn't win... And this, we're still fighting with China. All of a sudden, the Chinese people are going to have to. It were in Britain, the people who actually, I use the term, do the work. It's more of a professional position. Now, then that can become some huge bureaucracy, and you can't get those idiots out either. I mean, it's not like it's the be all end all. Every one of them has some strengths and weaknesses. But if in Britain, if Theresa May's out and there's big negotiations going on with, say, the U.S. or China or any place, the moon, that person's probably not getting replaced. Where here they are.
No.
Or here they are.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure which is... I guess if you have a good person, you probably don't want them to replace it. If you don't, so it comes down to the... But I'm not... But both have its strengths and weaknesses. I mean, there's got to be a reason why every time somebody takes a shot at us, 9/11 or whatever, it's always the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's always 10, 12 weeks... 3 months after a new guy comes in, right?
They always get. There's this theory, and the press likes to play it up that people are going to get tested.
Yeah,
and and it typically seems to be in their first year. And I think the rest of the world is aware that you know, you've got a short time frame that you have to deal with different leadership in the U.S. I think they use that to their advantage against us.
Well, but every 4 years is
that... And I understand, you know, I understand both sides of term limits. I think if we were to implement some sort of term limits, we probably should extend, and it would be kind of nice if we would do this, extend how long people are in office. Maybe, you know, take the Senate to 8 years and take the House to four and take the president to six or something like that with one term, so that they're not always turning around and campaigning all the time. They're actually paying attention to running the government, but they can also maybe implement something that's going to benefit us longer than the next 2 or 4 years.
Well, but I don't get the part where, God bless, somebody elects Matty Weber tomorrow, or me.
Yay!
You know, and Matty, he'd probably belong there better than me. So you drop me in there. I don't see why the first thing I should see is the resignation of Russell Rhodes, who's the Undersecretary of State for Central America. Because my first question is, who's Russell Rhodes? Does he know what he's doing? And if the answer is, yeah, he's really good, why do I want your resignation? I want you there. Why do I have to replace all those people I never even met? I mean, if they're doing a good job, why would I want them out of there? I would hope that my politics don't have to pile down to you as a Undersecretary of State in Central America, because I would think the job you're doing would be the same for Republicans as it would be for the Democrats, wouldn't it? You're trying to help Central America.
I think there are a lot of people in the State Department that do, you know, go back and forth from administration to administration.
But
the really high up people, and the ones that really know what's going on, because you know everywhere, the head guy doesn't really know what's going on. It's all the people that are two and three levels under them. And there is a lot of carryover and lifelong State Department employees. The cabinet folks, the really kind of figurehead folks, are the ones that seem to get changed out.
I think
they're the ones that, if you delegate properly, they're the ones that should be figuring out on the next level who's worth keeping and who's not worth keeping.
I'll bet you a cardigan.
I don't think everybody switches out.
No, but I'll bet you a cardigan that three layers down, everybody submits a resignation. That's a question of whether you take it or not.
I think some do, but yeah, when you hear about people that have been at the State Department for 20, 30 years, I mean, they've basically worked for both sides of the, you know,
we've got to have a
coin.
We've got to have a listener tweet us in on this one, because I'm going to say that Tillerson.
I think Matt, I assume Matt is Googling everything right now.
Well, didn't you Google at one point?
No, I just know automatically. I don't Google. I just know it.
Oh, okay. But wasn't that what Tillerson? Wasn't everybody's bitching about Tillerson? He just let all those people leave, and then he never replaced any of them. Where they said that the place was woefully understaffed because he let however many hundreds of resignations he got, he like accepted a real lot of them and never put anybody in, saying we're overstaffed or something.
I do know that one of the things that Trump wanted to do was kind of narrow down some of the departments that he felt were overstaffed, and I think that probably was one of them. You know, they never called me back for an interview when I applied for a job with them. So,
well, did they know you're a professor?
I they probably didn't even look at my resume.
They probably didn't. So you didn't have the
right. I wanted to help with the financial reform.
See, now
that's what I wanted. I'm not kidding about that. I wrote a whole manifesto about helping with the financial reform and didn't even get a call back.
Well, you're not high up.
I know.
You're not from the right group.
I know.
You're not. Who's the last judge? If you'd have been hanging around as a gopher for Tom Daschle as a Democrat, that's how you get on the CFTC. You're Tom Daschle's gopher. You're not a guy who knows what he's doing and works for exchanges.
Well, you know what? I think Giancarlo, who's running CFTC right now, who's going to leave in April, I think he knows what he's doing.
Okay, I didn't say he didn't.
I do. I actually, because he came from industry.
Okay.
And he's one that actually straddled both.
I'll bet if you went down the list of the people on the CFTC, you'll find a clerk for a guy who used to be the agriculture chairman or some crap.
I'm sure there are people that have worked their way up in government. I think it's a combination of both. You do want people, and to their defense, like you were saying about people being in office and not really being effective until they've been around for a little while, I think you have a combination of both. You have some political appointees, but you also have some people that are lifelong civil servants in Washington, D.C. that understand, you know, Giancarlo understands what he wants to do, and there are people that have been there for a long time that figure out how they go about implementing what he wants to do.
Well, it's always interesting that when you talk to people who have whatever walk of life they are, especially if they've been working for the like kind of the government for a while. I'm totally upset. By the way, you've never shown up and bought around with the Fed people.
You never tell me when.
They're getting scarcer because
you know what I find out that you're sitting around with the Fed people over at Ceres? The day after. That's when I find out. I can't show up.
Well, it's hard to buy around when you don't know about it till the day after.
Actually, though,
thank you.
In my defense on that, my two guys, their big boss, 3 weeks ago came back from a conference somewhere in Asia, and I don't know if he caught something or what he did, but he basically was found dead 2 days later. So,
oh my God!
Yeah, so they've been seriously scrambling to cover their group, and I haven't seen really much hide and hair from either because they're all working double time to get all this stuff done. But it's always interesting whenever you ask questions. I did my research. You were in here a couple weeks ago, right? Where the whole idea from 2008 through now with the banks essentially giving money for free, that the actual interest rates on credit cards went up and not down.
Yep.
Which is obviously not intuitively. You would think that if all of a sudden I gave free beer to every bar in town, you would think that the price of a beer for Maddie's basketball team would go down, not up. You would think. That's just somebody who's read an economics book talking
about it. You would think that, you know, supply, demand, and cost and everything would get in there for your curves, correct?
You would think somewhere. So I was saying, and then they said, well, do you realize the amount of charge-offs, okay, that they actually charge off on these credit cards? And I said, okay, one of the guys' name is John. I said, okay, John, let me ask you, do you have any statistics on those charge-offs on how much the person actually bought? What do you mean? I said, okay. So if I go out and I buy, you know, furniture and I pay, you know, whatever, I buy a house, you know, both the wife and I have a job, blah, 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 or we just got a job, and all of a sudden somebody gets laid off, and now the $5,000 we paid for furniture, all of a sudden we're skunked, or somebody gets sick, or, you know, we got a problem. And now we miss a couple of payments, and all of a sudden we go from our 14% where we started to 24. Oh, by the way, the late fees or God knows what. And now this $5,000, even though I tried to pay something for a while, now I'm still trying to pay something. And it may be 3 years later where you charge this thing off it, and there's $7,000 there. But I actually paid over my 4 years $4,500. And now they're charging off still $7,000. Well, they're charging off $7,000. They're not charging off $7,000. They're charging off
They're charging off $7,000,
yeah.
But they didn't lose $7,000.
Right. I mean, so and he goes, well, why would you look at it that way? I said, you can't lose what you didn't spend. I mean, right? It's like the Bernie Madoff people, thinking that they gave Bernie $300,000. Bernie told them they had $800,000, and now they got nothing. They claim they're claiming $8,000. How do you claim $8,000? You only gave them $3,000. Yeah, but Bernie said I was up to $8,000. I want the full number. Well, hell, people in hell want ice water, right? Anyway,
you'll get what you get, and you won't get upset.
So, how do you, if you're doing the analysis on the Apple thing right now? Because I'm doing this, Kevin. I got a bunch of Kevin. I'm sorry, Russell. I'm doing this for people. I mean, how do you sit there and decide where does Apple's going to land? I mean, do you protect it? Do you sell calls? Do you just say, well, it's going back to 250 and hold your breath and hold your nose? I mean, when you're in the fray.
Right now.
Yeah, you can get a million opinions, but the bottom line is you're the person who's got to make the trade.
Right. Basically, I'd take a look, and I have not looked at the numbers because I got up and called you. But basically, I would take a look at how the numbers have adjusted going forward, based on what they say today, and based on people's outlooks, what we were looking at a couple of days ago as far as assumptions on earnings and earnings growth go, and adjust where I think the stock should be trading based on that. So the stock's up 4% right now.
Yep.
You know, does everybody think they're going to make 4% more going forward over the next few years? And if so, it's adjusted correctly. But it takes about a day, day and a half for these things to settle out relative to the fundamentals. And I just take a look at where I think it's going to settle out.
Right, I'm gonna,
over the long term.
I'll ask you a direct question because you know options very, very well. Maddie Weber's dad walks in and he says, "Russell, I want you to manage my account. I got $5 million bucks, and guess what? $4.8 million of it's in Apple. What should I do?"
We're going to throw taxes out. We're not concerned.
Yeah, we're not worried about taxes.
You got to diversify that stuff.
So you're telling them to sell some Apple?
Absolutely, have to diversify that thing. And if they've got $5 million bucks, $4 million in Apple, they need to sell $3.5 million of that Apple. Period.
And what if the answer is no? Do you protect it? Do you sell calls? What do you do? Just leave it?
If they say no, then I talk to them about putting on some sort of collar strategy. So, well, how much do you think it's going to go up? And if they say, well, I think it'll go up 10% this year, maybe implement some sort of costless collar that protects them but allows them the 10% upside.
Well, ding, ding, ding. That's what I'm doing.
But that's exactly what I mean. It's funny because right now, and I know we're coming up on 8:30, but right now in my investments class, this is exactly, or in my portfolio management class, these kind of discussions are exactly what I'm teaching.
Yeah, because if it's that concentrated position, you got to do something. S&P futures now up 950. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Sam Tamao, this is Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Russell Rhodes calling in from New York. I think that he went to New York just to escape the weather.
He extended his trip, weather related.
It was supposed to be a day trip yesterday, meeting with one of the Asian exchanges actually, but they allowed you to change flights for nothing. Hotels are really cheap in New York right now, and I decided instead of flying back last night to stay here through Thursday.
And so a night at the night.
Also, they close Loyola as well, so I don't teach today.
So a night at the Waldorf is what, $50?
I am crashing at the Hampton Inn.
Really? SP Futures up 9.
I am a big Hampton Inn fan.
Really? SP Futures up 950. Dow Futures up 193. NASDAQ Futures up 54. I used to like staying around Central Park because I like to go jogging in Central Park, but I don't think I'd be jogging if it's 20.
It's a lot warmer there.
Yeah, well, that's true. Central Park's a lot of fun to jog. They close all the streets. It's a fun place. I like, you know, DAX down 27.2%. FTSE up 1.6. CAC around up 31.6. So let's say bullish over there, at least in London today. Asia, a mixed bag. Nikkei down 108.5%. Shanghai down 18.7. Hang Seng up 11.4. We've got oil up 53 cents. It's 1%. 53.84. Brent 61.95. It's up 63 cents as well. Natural gas, this is a wild one, Russell. It's back down well under $3, 287, even with this incredible cold mass. But now we're talking this weekend. By Sunday, the temperature will have risen here. What, 75 degrees, maybe? 70 degrees, some incredible number.
Saturday and Sunday, we're supposed to be in the upper 30s, low 40s.
Yeah.
Which will feel like 90.
Oh, God, yeah. we got gold continue to run up here. Well, now it's only up 90 cents, 1309. Silver up 3 cents. Gold has been running because everybody thinks the Fed's going to come out today with a very dovish sort of statement. We've beaten this Fed into line. So now they're like a trained dog like the last one was. Anybody got forced traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. As you can imagine, a lot of people staying home today. A lot of offices downtown are closed due to the frigid weather temps. So people that are able are working from home, and that's making a nice commute so far on the air expressways for the most part. We'll get into one serious issue in just a minute, but the Edens and Kennedy is looking okay. No issues on the Eisenhower, Stevenson, and the Southside expressways. Dan Ryan, Bishop Ford, and I already mentioned the Stevenson are all looking good. The issue is I-57 northbound between 107th and Halstead, backed up to 111th. Their I-57 is completely closed due to an accident. No further details on that, but I-57 northbound, 107th and Halstead, backed up to 111th Street, closed due to this crash, and crews are working to get it cleared. Obviously not the greatest of conditions for doing that, so hopefully they get that cleared quickly.
That's a 95 to 100 mile an hour stretch.
Yes, and obviously we're very familiar with that stretch down there, so yes, people do drive crazy. Yeah. On I-57. So avoid I-57 at least for the foreseeable future, as that is completely closed. But everything else looking okay out there. Nice, quick travel times for a Wednesday morning at this hour.
off the expressways, as I mentioned earlier, there's all kinds of weird cold weather related issues. So traffic signals flashing red all over the place, railroad gate malfunctions all over the place, some down power lines, and some water main breaks, especially in the city. So give yourself extra time if you're traveling on the side streets. But the expressways are looking good. Weather today, we're potentially going to set some records today as far as the coldest high temperature in Chicago recorded weather history. Our high today is expected to just be negative 12 degrees, which would break the all-time record that's been in place since 1983. Our previous record low high was negative 11. Right now, it is negative 18 degrees downtown, mostly sunny, wind chills at negative 47. You feel that when you're walking down the sidewalk. For our Phoenix listeners, overcast skies with a high of 74. Right now, it's cloudy and 55. In sports, Bulls lost in Brooklyn last night to the Nets 122-117. Suns lost in San Antonio to the Spurs 126-124. College hoops, Northwestern was in Maryland. They lost to the Terps 70-52.
Just to give you an example, Russell, because I know you're a Western suburb white picket fence sort of guy. which is fine. You know, they used to TV show about that once, didn't they? The white picket fence places. Anyway, this place on the I-57, there's actually somewhat of a curve there on the interstate. Now, you would say, wow, a curve on the interstate's not that big of a thing. But let's just say the creatures that go along that area there go so fast that once in a while, like if you're racing another knucklehead, they haven't been able to hold the curve. So once in a while, like once a month almost, you'd have somebody, like a regular interstate, the median is the big thing of grass, right? You know, where it goes down and comes back up. Well, people couldn't hold the curve, and they'd race across the grass into oncoming traffic. Now, of course, we're not talking about being 60 miles an hour doing this. So they actually had to build a guardrail on that curve in the middle of the grass to stop people from going, like, so fast, like 110, racing across the middle and smashing into somebody coming the other way. It's how big. It's absolutely incredible. Hey, you know, I want to shift gears a little bit. Kevin and I talked a lot about some of the Democratic approaches to health care, and we kind of, you know, that's to be determined. So we'll talk more about that next week. But I was wondering what your thoughts of in terms of. I keep forgetting the last lady with the three names that just came in. And
just say AOC.
AOC. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, 70% tax rates for the rich and blah, 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 blah. And I just wanted to touch base with you a little bit because yesterday I was kind of opining that I've sort of evolved a little bit in my thinking. Not evolved, but it's just I'm questioning my thinking, which I always do. I always think in terms of people being an entrepreneur. Because that's what I've been since I left Pullman. Well, I guess I'm salaried at PTI, but since it's my firm, it's an entrepreneur, right? So, I think if you were to have tax rates above, you know, 30, 35, I think it absolutely hurts the vibrancy of society. You can't, because our tax law is so bleeped up, you can't have, I mean, you and I and Maddie might be three dumbos and think we have a business idea that's a good one, but we're not stupid enough to put money into a system where if we win, we give 70% away, and if we lose, we can deduct $3,000 a year for the rest of our natural lives and our kids and our grandkids, because that just doesn't cut it. Especially, I mean, if the business is $1 million and we each put up $333, okay, let's see, if we lose, that's what? What's 3,000 going into 333? Like 100 years, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's not cutting it.
We can carry that forward.
Yeah. And if we win, we got to give 70% to the government. I think that dog doesn't hunt. I think it's a horrible idea, and it probably should be less. It should be more like 25. You know, by the way, you should probably up that $3,000 to like 100 grand or something, because it was $3,000 when the market was 800, and now it's 26,000. It's the same number. So it's
yeah.
I mean, it's stone cold idiot.
As a percentage, it should of what we're used to. It should definitely change.
Yeah. Now,
yeah. We all had some great loss carry forwards for a long time after 2008, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why I think we went into I guess Carl will tell you we never really had a surplus in in Clinton's era, but say we were close. I think that's what happened in the 90s, is all the people from Silicon Valley had to pay a lot of capital gains, and if you went the other way, you didn't get your money back, essentially. Right. But having said that, if you look at where I've seen in the last 10, 15 years, and Lou put the term fascist on it, you're starting to see more and more the cartelization of this country. Not so much monopolies, but all these industries, one after another, is becoming a cartel.
Cartelization, I like that.
Yeah, it's a word. Yeah. And so I don't necessarily have a problem. I don't know. This is what I'm kicking around. That's why I want your advice, counselor. if one of us gets a job at, I don't know, who the hell had Viagra? Was that Pfizer or Merck? I think it was Pfizer, wasn't it? I'm not positive. It was one of those guys. So let's see, I get a job there, and we got 14 more years on some patent. We're charging people $50 a pill on something that costs us 48 cents. And all of a sudden, the chairman of that thing thinks the CEO thinks he deserves $25 million a year when he's got no skin in the game, no chance of a loss, no money up, and by the way, didn't develop it himself. I'm not so sure.
He just happened to be the guy.
And he's got 15 other people under him. He's paying a million, I'm not so sure 30% is enough there. Because basically they're getting the patent from the government. They're making more than 1,000 other people. I'm not so sure 30% is enough. So I mean, I hate the hell like I ever say I want to agree with like an Elizabeth Warren, but in that kind of situation, I'm not so sure she's all wrong. I wouldn't go 70, but I mean, I'm not so sure 30. I mean, you're talking about essentially something you got from government that you can charge people a fortune. There's no development there on you. Whoever developed Viagra for whoever company it was, the guy could be dead. He's long gone. That was 20 years ago.
And he sure didn't get the profits from it.
He didn't get crap, right?
Ever.
So I mean, all of a sudden you're rolling on this one, or the head of People's Gas. I mean, these guys are so stupid. Whatever. I shouldn't say that. These guys. I'll take that.
Bit. The utilities are failing right now in Chicago. I think you want to take that back very quickly.
Failing.
You might go home to a very cold home.
Failing my ass. Get a look. We have four. This is an interesting story about these guys. We have four units in a building, and in one closet downstairs, there's the four meters, the four gas meters. So first, they were going to shut us off because we didn't have the automatic readers thing, right? So, okay. So I got to take some time off work. I go back. The idiots put those in. So then they said, well, we need to inspect your system. And if you're not there next Tuesday, we're turning all the gas off for the place. So I show up. And of course, we get in there and I go, man, I'm smelling some gas. One of the meters is leaking like a sieve. And I get this huge bill from that meter. And I'm going, I said to the guy, is it leaking after the meter or before? And he goes, well, after. So I get like a $200 bill in the summertime, right? And so of course I call him and I said, "Hey, idiots! It was your meter that was."
I hope you didn't start the conversation with that.
No, but I said, "By the way, we have this outlier bill."
There you go.
And you were out there, and of course they wouldn't let me leave. They said, "No, we're changing this meter like right now." So of course I hang around for 2 hours. The guy shows up. They were very nice, but the guys are very professional. They put the meter in, and so. I said, you got to give me some of this money back because, all we got on is the stove, and it's a $200 bill. Well, geez, why is that our problem? Well, because it's your meter. It was leaking like you didn't kill somebody, for God's sake. All right, after about 4 months of fighting, I think I got $100 back from them, just because now it became a thing for me, that I couldn't let these guys push me around. I can't believe if you were some poor guy that A, didn't know how to fight with these people, and B, got if you weren't so good on the language or something, they got you by the short and curly. So they absolutely will not deal with you. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like for somebody with English as their second language fighting with the gas company. So get a load of this, Russell. Whoever hooks it up, there's a guy downstairs in the garden. Well, I get both bills and I split them. Because guess what? They must have hooked up. You know how much gas they have me using in the last year?
How much?
Zero.
Oh.
Zero. And guess what the bill is now? My month.
What's the bill now?
It's $48 just to have for the delivery cost. So I use no gas. So the guy downstairs, his bill is in the wintertime, it'll be $180. You know, so instead of us both being, you know, 95 or 100, he gets the 180, so I put them together and we split them, being the nice guy that I am, instead of telling the poor kid that it's that he's he should pay the 180 and I get away. So these guys came in, they must have hooked them both into the same unit. And yet... So here's the deal. When I first moved in there, I'm going to say my gas bill in the summer was $25 at most, maybe 22. Now they've rigged it to such a point where they don't care if you ever even use gas. They're charging more for delivery. They don't care if you moved out and turned it off. I mean, why do you think the electric company, when I was way younger than Maddie, I don't know if you remember this, Maddie, you probably don't, you used to get on your, whenever you paid your bill, you could go to the local place and they would give you 10 bulbs. And of course, everybody's parents, my parents, we must have had, 150 bulbs in the basement because you went and got like your 30 bulbs with your three. Like, man, we got more bulbs than we got four lifetimes worth of bulbs. Well, they were the crappiest bulbs. If you could get a 100 watt bulb that used more energy, you couldn't have found it, right? There was no way they were giving you the little fluorescent squiggly ones or the LEDs. They were giving you bulbs that, the 100 watt bulb used the entire 100 watts, right? I mean, so the idea was to make, because you paid for the electricity. And now people started having, windmills and solar and everything. They got the bright idea. Look, why do we even care about the electricity? Let's just make the case to the state, the state will believe it over time because they're morons, that all our cost is in delivering the stuff to your house. So now, if you look at your bill,
once it gets there, it costs us nothing.
Yeah, so they don't care who you buy the electricity for now. It's $50 a month to get it to you, right? So they've actually let our idiot politicians, they've turned them totally around to where we don't care. Now they want you to use less electricity because they don't want to maintain the plants and the wires, right? It's to the point now where if Russell, where you live in your 15 acres out in White Picket Fence area, if you put up a windmill and 48 solar panels and whatever else you're doing out there, and at the end of the day, all you have is a power hookup to them, just in case all your stuff falls down, they don't care. Because just to be hooked up to them is going to cost you as much as it used to actually use them. Anyway, do I think that guy who's making $90 bazillion in that job should pay more than 25%? Yeah. He's no entrepreneur to me. His entrepreneurship is to get an estate to agree to charge me more than I should. That's not the job. That's not my kind of entrepreneurial job, is it? Maybe it is.
No, it's not. I've always, I don't work for a big company now. I can say what I want to say. I've always questioned how much upper management is getting paid, and having worked at large companies where people are getting paid very, very well, and seeing that I'm putting in just as much effort as those guys. Now, not saying that I'm contributing maybe as much, but I can see from that point of view saying, yeah, they should give 70% back.
I think 70 is way too high.
Wow, very un-Republican, yeah. Russell.
It really depends on the topic.
Yeah.
I'm all excited. It's unfortunate, but I'm all about Howard Schultz right now, man.
I like him.
Really?
I agree with him. I agree across the board more with him than pretty much either party. If you just like are towing the party line,
isn't he kind of what we've always dreamed of, a fiscal conservative with
exactly
sort of liberal social values,
and socially liberal?
Yeah, that's sort of what we've always dreamed of. Although I don't like his coffee, but
no,
that's a different.
Russell,
topic.
I'm going to say that,
and the poor guy is thinking about running, and automatically everybody on the left side is saying, "Well, we're going to boycott Starbucks if you run for president."
Well, I'm going to say Russell, that if
and so then where are they going to do their work if they boycott Starbucks?
Well, yeah,
that's true. The one by us, Chief. The millennials with the Mac laptops, they wouldn't know what to do if that Starbucks wasn't there.
Who's the company this weekend, Manny, that was all over News Radio 78 that they're going to give a limit now that you can only sit there for how many hours if you don't buy any coffee?
The key is you walk in, you buy the $2 coffee, and then you're there for 10 hours. That's what you do.
Well, they were during certain hours of you could only spend. But Russell, I'm going to say that despite both extremes, if we were to sit down, imagine that, if we got everybody who's on Stacks and Jacks, and it's from liberal early in the week to conservative end of the week, and we sat down in a room, and all of a sudden we ponied up some money and it had a half a page ad in, you know, the Wall Street Journal, the fake news places. We were to put down the 10 principles of our presidency, or the guy we'd like to see that we all could get back on. I'm going to say that 80% of the country would agree with all 10 things we said. And yet, we would be sniped at from the extreme right and the extreme left, like if we were ready to take their kids away from them. Would you agree with that? Thinking too long, bud.
Who are you asking?
Either one. I was asking Russell, but pipe in.
Sorry, no. Well, Russell had muted himself for a second and was talking away, and you couldn't hear me. No, I was just saying that, you know, poor Howard Schultz, he's trying to put himself out there, and he's on a book tour, and you know what happened to him in New York 2 seconds into his first book appearance? Guy basically dropped an F-bomb and said, don't help elect Trump. He also called him an egotistical something or other.
Well, you know, but that's
why.
You know,
why does
but he's on MSNBC this morning, and he actually said, "Look, if I'm getting that much pushback, I must be doing something right."
Well, right. So I would agree with that.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
I'm not well read on his policies yet. But why does the left hate him? I thought he was pretty socially
because
liberal.
Because they think that he will split the vote.
Yeah.
To the point of allowing Trump to get reelected. Because they believe more Democrats would be willing to vote for Schultz, because he is a Democrat, than Republicans.
The word now is, Matt, if you do the math, and I've got three people who were talking about it yesterday, and I don't believe this, by the way, necessarily, because people change their minds, that there's 25 to 30% of the population that are Trumpinos, as Fari would say, and he's going to get that vote. So the idea is
the wackos are going to vote for Trump. Well, we get that, but I'll say it. Isn't the majority of Republicans, though, still sort of like common sense people that would consider sense person?
The point being,
or
is
they completely hijacked?
If the Democrats run, pick a name. Elizabeth Warren. They're going to say that if this guy runs in the middle, most people that used to be Democrats like me are going to vote for him and not Elizabeth Warren. So Trump's 30% might carry the day. That's what they're worried about, right, Russell? That's the math.
Yeah, and you know, if that's the case, then maybe the Democrats need to move back to the center a little bit,
and
get those people back as opposed to
either party right now can claim me.
I think both parties are responsible to move back to the middle a little bit.
Oh, I do. It's just the Republicans aren't screaming at Schultz. The Democrats are.
But here's the difference.
That's the only reason.
Here's the difference is that the and Russell, you know, feel free. This is just one man's opinion. The Republicans, the right, supports their stuff, whether you agree with it or not, and they are willing to support the party, send them money, pretty much all along the line.
Oh, yeah, they love Trump. They say they don't, but they do.
Actually, I think a lot of them don't, but my point is that he's...
They'll vote for him.
Oh, and they'll also support the party. The Democrats, nobody supports the party.
Both parties are terrible.
No, but I'm saying, but people on the left will never send money in for anybody. I mean, it's not like there's a list of 10 things. At least Republicans can pretty much, although Trump's done a lot of the opposite, can say what they're for. They claim to be fiscally responsible, even though
they're
not showing up. But that's their policy. Okay, that is the policy. They're for lower taxes. They're for business. They're pretty much anti-abortion, and you know there's a list of stuff that they pretty much can say this is. So if you send money to the party, you at least have an idea what most of the people in the party believe. Is that a fair statement, Russell? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying good or bad about it, but if I send my money to the Democratic National Committee, what exactly am I sending it in for? Where's their list of, and I used to be a Democrat, but where's their list? They're not for unions anymore. They're for University of Chicago, or, City of Chicago unions. City unions, which most people think are mostly minority, even though they probably aren't, but that's the impression you get. They're for that. They don't seem to be at all for, the Steelworkers Union anymore. I would say the Republican Party probably is at least, I think the Steelworkers Union are without a party. Is that a fair statement, Russell? I don't know where the Democratic Party is right now. Who the hell are they? I mean, I don't see.
I think they're trying to figure that out as well. And again, I think Howard Schultz, should probably, and anybody that is announced, I think right now in the Democratic Party is very far left.
Every hero.
It's early, but I think somebody that's going to be a little bit more centrist might come along and. And it'll come down to maybe two people, somebody very left and somebody that's a little bit more to the center.
But the Warren wing of the party is
that. Turns out.
What do you think the Elizabeth Warren wing of the party, if there is such a thing, does it?
I don't think there is.
Well, but I think
she's going to be very surprised when she gets 2% in Iowa.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, what is the people who think they are the Democrats now, this extreme left, what do they do if a Paul Simon shows up, or if an Adlai Stevenson, or anybody who I consider to be, Democratic icons.
If that ends up being the nominee, it's kind of like if you have a choice between Trump and Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Anybody that's on the they're going to vote for Trump instead of voting for her.
Right.
My wife voted for Hillary Clinton, and she said, I would have voted for anybody on the Republican side other than Trump against Clinton.
Well, a lot of people felt that way about
her. I think there's a lot of that.
Well, I'm saying what I consider to be like Franklin Roosevelt, where does John Kennedy land today? The left is not going to like him. SB Futures up 11. Russell, thank you very much, buddy. Enjoy yourself in New York. By the way, when it warms up, why don't you come on back, type of thing.
It's 45 degrees warmer here.
Yes, we'll be back tomorrow. Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.